Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Yeah, no, I'm just tired. I've been working hard for my money.
Someone's got to, baby.
Yeah, I know.
Someone's got to.
I know.
Well, so since she's not on the phone yet.
Yeah.
What did Linda want?
She wanted a picture of your setup.
Your setup. My setup's got nothing going on. What kind of setup do you want for me?
No, your setup too, I think. I think because her
I got
her
a laptop
sister,
on my lap.
Well, no, I think because you're talking about all the speakers in the studio and everything like that. So did you get all the kids to clear all that stuff out?
No. Shit's everywhere. But the thing is, those light thingies are gone. I don't know where the hell they went. Yeah. I think they took them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show them what I got. That's it. A microphone. On a laptop. I take a picture of Phil. It's nice and nice. That's all I got. I got all this other shit here, but I don't know what it is.
I hear you.
And the kids aren't using it anyway. Like I told you, it's a small fortune of stuff that they paid for.
Yeah. No, they probably clicked on Amazon and bought it.
Mm.
Right? But
I think I don't know. I know what's going on in the kitchen. I know.
I have to send you those. I haven't downloaded it yet.
How'd it go?
I didn't even listen to it yet. I haven't even downloaded them. They're all...
I don't think it was any that exciting, so...
Yeah, I
think we're going to have to work on that one.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, even the other one, the Father of Three, Family of Five.
Yeah.
I think I recorded the intro... I've probably recorded it like four times now, and then I've like lots of tracks of me just working through some of the kinks and but I think I got a good format going, so
it's like most of it's just gotta practice, right?
Yeah. You just gotta find practice. It's like finding your voice, right? Sounds like
exactly.
An artsy fartsy thing, but it's true.
No, it's true though.
Right. So
no, it's true. You gotta do that. You gotta try to figure it out.
Yeah.
It's all good in the hood. I mean, there's a lot bigger things in life to worry about.
No, yeah. It's all good. It really.
So how's things been?
Things are.
When did I talk to you?
Tuesday morning.
Oh, so I had gotten back from.
Yeah, you were back
from my Ottawa. No, what? Not yeah. That was the week before.
Yeah.
Back
so
in Calgary.
You know who I saw today? I saw Shanae today.
Oh, how's Shanae doing?
She's doing amazing. Just like Shanae is, and Shanae's feeling like. She hasn't conquered enough of the world.
What's she doing now? She's going to New York?
No, she's here. She wants a bigger piece of the, it's Shanae. She's trying to get a bigger piece of the pie. She's trying to,
such a bright young woman.
You know, one of the accounts she works with is Healthy Planet.
Really?
Yeah.
That's my podcast for Phil.
Yeah. So,
he does, eh?
So yeah. And I said, you should tell Kenny. Kenny would be interested.
We sell the Healthy Planet.
Yeah,
it's a good account.
Yeah. So anyway, figured you'd be interested in knowing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't talked to Shanae in a while, so that's interesting.
Yeah, love that girl. Really?
No, she's a sweetheart.
She just worked for Nimi, but honestly, like when we get together, it's more catch up time than anything else. You know?
Well, because again, sometimes what it is how much can you actually do for that account or not do for that account?
Yeah.
Any account, not say specifically Nimi.
Yeah.
I'm talking sometimes like in general, right? Is what can you actually contribute?
Yeah.
What's the net result?
Yeah. You know, like if this makes the podcast, depending on what the Lori segment looks like, but the truth is like that's one of those two. Like she and I had a very frank conversation today. Because she was worried, like Shanae would be, she was worried about how much she was contributing. Because Nimi is just such a complicated product. And I said to her, that's not your fault. That's our fault, right? Like
I understand that, but that's why you like people like Shanae.
Yeah.
Is because they actually give a shit and they worry about stuff that
honestly, that I want them to worry about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
right? And I worry about. Don't you worry about how you're contributing to your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. You know. So it's just right? It's so cool, right? It's cool because she's so cool about it, right? And so she said, you know, gosh, like, you know, are we doing enough? Should I be doing more? What else can I be doing? And I said, it's not you, it's us, right? Like we got to figure our shit out, right? So if we don't, then you won't.
Well, then there's nobody to blame except
you. Yeah.
I don't know. It's still.
But that's what you love about Shanine, right? Like
that's why you love people like that. Because at least they give a shit.
Yeah.
It's true, and it makes a big difference. Yeah. I mean, want someone who actually
she could just sit there and collect our money, like
happily.
Know. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and you're gonna pay her, so it's not like it's a.
Yeah, I know.
Not like that's gonna be a big deal. She'll still do it. So anyway, whatever. I'm glad she's doing. She's doing well. I knew she would. I mean, I had no doubts with her at all. So
yeah.
How's everything else going?
Everything else is just it's busy. It's so busy. There's just so many things going on. You know, I've been working. I don't know. I worked over the weekend. I worked. Like I've been pulling late nights. I've been pulling like it's you know, like I guess from a business perspective, it's like we're rolling into the end of the year. Sales teams are out trying to close deals, right? And finish closing for the year, but I'm already worried about next year, right? Like I'm worried about like what happens you know, like I think if you're retail, you go hard till the end of the year, right? Like now is your time
retail
to make sure.
Retail is all now. This is either you're going to end up in the black or the red.
Yeah, you're going to make sure you got inventory. You got to make sure you got all the right sales that you're thinking about all the right things.
Hopefully the people are right. You know, hopefully your displays are right. Hopefully everything's ready to go. If you miss this one.
If you need seasonal help, like now is the time. You got to be hiring it.
Absolutely.
If you don't. You know, like you're going to miss out, right? You know, and so, but I like in my business, you know, we're B2B. And so things start shutting down like second week of December, right? Like if you think about American Thanksgiving, if you have US businesses, next week is American Thanksgiving, right? Is it next week?
Yeah.
Next week, right? So then, you know, like after that, you got a couple of weeks, right? And then you're done, you know? We're trying to just like fit in the last bits of what we got to do and then start prepping for next year already. Right. So, you know,
but that's part of it. Like in ours, you know, it's selling season is now for most of it. But, you know, I had one of the principals on a call today from another continent and we're going to launch the product in Feb. So, I mean, I guess we're going to start doing the presentations right now and this and that. And I'm thinking,
No, nobody's going to see you now.
Well, I didn't have the heart to tell him because I thought, you know what, if I have to explain this, I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
It's November 15th, guys, tomorrow. Like, who gives a shit? Do you think a store cares about a new product that's coming in February?
Nope.
They're just trying to get through the next month.
Yeah.
They don't give a rat's ass. Nobody's looking at new products now. Mm-mm. Small retail can still do it. Uh-huh. But quite frankly, if you're really still looking at new listings and stuff, you're really at the wrong time of year.
Well,
like if you're looking to list like a major, if you're looking to list Jan, Feb, March, problem. But you're not going to put anything in the store now. It's like there's no emergency right now that you have to go fight. If you're a retail, what are you going to get, Rafael? I don't want to see you now.
If you're launching in February, right? Like, are you?
This is
are
not
you...
an international launch. This is not. We're not talking. This is going to be a small, concentrated launch. We're not going to go see the majors.
You're not going to see big.
No,
retailers.
This is a whole different league of product.
Okay.
If it was the majors, listen, if I had to go in and pitch our normal products, whether it's on the emergency or energy side or the food side, sure, you could pitch now for March, April, May.
You have to. Really.
I mean, if anything, you might have even missed the boat.
Yeah.
Well, for some of the more nimble accounts, you got time.
Yeah.
On ZZ, London would be
easy. Yeah.
You know, Loblaws 17
national
years.
Players, you can't.
No,
you've
missed that.
It should have been September, right?
And even then you're pushing time. Should have been like June, July.
Yeah.
Right? Because they'd like to have everything done, everything in the system.
Yeah.
And then to start looking at it. But that's fine.
And you got to be looking at planograms, right? Most of these guys, you know, like Kenny and I bang on inventory all the time, but you know, I mean, these like retailers are worried about inventory, and so they're not moving stuff until they got to move it, right? And so they all have designated planogram timing. You know, planograms are the shelf designs, right? And so, you know, the majors all have, you know, they used to have a major and a minor. I think they've only got the major now, right? So they really only move their shelves left in the
stores, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So most of the majors, like a Walmart, Loblaws, a Shoppers, you probably got a lot of modules once a year.
Yeah.
So like if February is skincare, right, which this particular product is, and it's high end, like it's prestige. But if it's skincare, you know, in a normal major, like August, September, you would have had your presentations most likely in. You might have snuck one through in October, but quite frankly, even the buyer wants to put it down. Then it goes to the planogram, they look at it.
Yeah.
Maybe early Jan, maybe even in December, they might say yay or nay, because they'll see how the planogram fits this stuff. But you're not presenting anymore.
No.
Well, you're in queue.
You almost really, you need to work back from when the planogram goes, right? So let's say skincare goes,
say it goes Feb 1.
Let's say it goes Feb 1, right? So then you got to subtract 8 months out of that. That's when, you know, major retailers are kind of doing the analytics.
Probably the first really start looking at it.
Yeah, they'll do analytics then. Yeah. They'll start running numbers. They'll start thinking about all that stuff.
And then I'd probably say like 5.5 to 6 months back from launch date is when you need to be in, because they're going to shut it down.
Yeah.
And probably 4 months back is when the planogrammers actually look at it. And 3 months back is when you probably get an item number. And then a month back, you get your PO.
Yeah.
But it's basically been decided, like closed. Well, if it's a Feb launch, it was closed probably October 1, November 1, absolute latest.
Yeah.
Absolute latest.
You know, like, so it's kind of a big deal. Like you gotta check that stuff. Cause it just, I just texted Lori the Zoom link.
Okay.
You know, you gotta check that stuff. Cause if you don't, you know, you got problems, right? Like I've seen it, right? I'm sure you have, where like somebody shows them, goes, "Hey, listen, I got a new product. Can you push it?" And you're kind of going, "Dude, no." Like the worst would be to show up March 1st for a February planogram. Right. And you're like, no, you got to wait a whole year now, right? Like, can you imagine that? Like, if
majors,
you produce product,
like the nationals, like, to do that. I mean, I would take it. Yeah. We used to look at if the product was good. I didn't care when it was open or closed.
Yeah.
But that's old school, and that doesn't really exist. So,
look at who we have on.
Well, now our podcast looks so much better.
It does look so much better.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
How are you?
You are hearing the voice of Lori Shoplin. And we have a really, really, really special episode, because this is, I don't know if you know this, this is episode 100 for us.
Oh, is it?
Yes,
oh, good
this is
for
episode
us.
100, and this is our first WWLD, so what would Lori do session. So we're actually kicking off our special 100, you know, podcast episode with Lori Shoplin.
Oh, how cool is that?
Right?
Oh, how amazing is that? I feel like I need the cool champagne glass here or something.
I know.
Exactly.
I know.
Well, where is it?
That's awesome, guys.
Get Jimmy to do something.
Yeah.
Get the champagne going. Let's go. Giddy up.
Lori has the fancy mic. Did you see that? She's got the little lavalier thing.
Oh, look at what
look at her.
Big shot.
Yeah.
Fancy, mancy.
I like it.
You're going to have to send Linda your setup. I'm going to text her mine. I don't know why she wants mine, but I think Linda Webb wants to see our setups for recording.
Yeah. I think Linda's sister is starting a podcast.
So that's what it is.
So I think she's just trying to figure out, you know, what's going on in the kitchen, you know?
Cheap and dirty, baby. Cheap and dirty.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the best sound. I think you guys sound great with those bigger mics. So
you sound pretty good.
No, your sound's actually pretty good.
Okay. Lori Shoplin. You sound good all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And you're buttering me up for something. Don't trust this.
No, we just want to make sure we don't lose you. It's pretty a simple plan here.
Oh my gosh.
We talk nicer. Maybe she won't bail on us.
I know, right? Oh my gosh. So episode 100, we thought what we would do today is also bring Lori on. We've we've kind of been kicking this around, and I got to talk to Lori about this a couple of weeks ago, but we thought we'd bring Lori on because she's just always a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, we thought we'd you know, have our first What Would Lori Do session.
Do you have something planned for her, though?
Do I have something planned for her? No. So I wanted, I think we talked about kind of planning out episodes, but I thought episode one of WWLD could be about, one, giving the listeners a sense of what would Lori do and what that looks like. We've obviously got Lori on and she's amazing, so that, you know, the listeners now have a chance to think about things in their lives that they might want to be able to ask Lori about. And then I didn't know if, you know, Lori, we've been torturing you with our episodes, so I don't know if you have any you have any reactions to
any regrets? Do you want the condolences now?
You know, like, you could just say we're uncoachable and hang up, and then we'd probably cry for the rest of the episode. But
that could be true.
Anyway, welcome on the show.
Thank you, guys. And it's 100. Like, that is
that's pretty cool, eh?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's that pretty cool.
A really big commitment for you guys.
Wow.
I love it. It's funny because since we've been having discussion, it is so funny. And for the listeners, if they could just see every time I finish listening to an episode, I email you guys going, okay, like, oh my gosh, I'm crying, laughing so hard about different things. And it's, and what's so great, like, I even think back to like last week's episode with Lynn. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I just, like, I almost want to pop on right there, because there is somebody that the epitome of entrepreneur is that her mindset is that whatever challenges and obstacles she comes up, she just doesn't see them like that. Like, right? So she's just like, okay, let's figure this out. And she doesn't stumble, whereas so many of us as entrepreneurs, which all three of us are, can get caught in that space of, oh my gosh, this didn't go according to plan. Something's gone wrong. And so what do we do when we do that? We go and we shelter and we hide, and we actually don't end up producing anything and don't get anything done. So I thought that last week's episode was brilliant of just epitomizing. She was able to take, yes, she's got strong skill sets to be able to do things, but the mindset was what I kept hearing from her was, oh my God, she just didn't see, she didn't see no as an option, right? It's like, okay, let's figure this out. And so from that, I was just like cheering on the sidelines of, for your listeners to know of, when they stumble, it's like, okay, I could either, this can be an obstacle, or I can sit back and go, okay, what am I gonna do, right? What are some other options? Yeah,
you know what I really liked about her too is, it was funny, like, she's not stumbling, like you said, like, she's got it sort of figured out, and yet when she's talking, she's not talking massively confident. She's discounting her abilities or doubting them to some degree. And we're all listening thinking, holy man, you've got your game figured out. Like, I mean, like, and you're not talking, you know, we're not talking about making an appointment or a time and you're talking a couple pennies. You know, we're talking, these are dough, hardcore, yeah, you know, $1 million investments. This isn't small. Yeah. And she's just, you know, blotted on, like, thinking, holy moly, that's crazy.
But can I think,
I was so inspired by her. I thought she was awesome.
But I think you nailed it, is that it would be, I would offer a quiet confidence that she has, because there's no way she does what she's doing when she's listening to those voices that we all have in our head of saying,
she never get anything done.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, she's this an unbelievable ability to pull out of it and think, no, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can do this.
Yeah.
And she just does. I really enjoyed talking to her as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she was just really inspirational.
Well, and I thought for your listeners to be able to, and I love the idea of bring her on, was being able to go, okay, so here's somebody that has thought and sort of built their life thinking it was going to look like this. And I love the part where her and her husband driving to work, she was driving her husband to work all the time, right? Like, how much longer can we do this? How many of us have had that thought before? Yeah. And so for her to pivot and make those changes and to have that belief. And I mean, so many of us want to do it, but what the difference as a life coach and the clients that I coach is what makes that difference is then we get stuck with the thoughts that keep serving up that we've just had over on repeat on repeat. And it's like, well, I get to decide if I'm going to continue to have those thoughts any longer, right? That my job should look 9 to 5. Well, as an entrepreneur, it doesn't. So, that's okay.
So. Yeah, I just like, sometimes wonder how you dump them, though. How you dump those thoughts? Sorry, Phil.
No, that's okay.
It's just one of those things. It's hard. It's hard for a lot of people. You know, she's working. She had a good job. Hobby had a good job. I mean, these are not uneducated people. They're professionals. They have designations. They've got the jobs. So there's not like there's what most people will listen to is there's really no panic. Like, why would you leave? Like, it's all those things.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard to dump those thoughts from your head, you know, and you know, older cultures and all that stuff play into that. And you just don't do a lot of changing and you know, why would you quit? Like those things are ingrained into your head since you're little. And yet she just pushes right through.
Yeah. But I thought it was neat because the difference between Lan and say the two of us, right, is when we talk about it, we kind of talk about the moment when we switched, right? Mm-hmm. But for her, it was an evolution, right? It was like, you know, she said like 14 years ago we started this and went, this sucks, right? But I was really blown away by that, right? Because I think, you know, I wanted to pick your brain about this, Lori, is I think change, sometimes like you and I, Kenny, we come across like change is something you just, let's go do it, right? Like chop, 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 let's get it done. In her case, it was like, yeah, I got to change, but she changed her mindset. And then it took her 14 years to figure out what it was, right? But she just stayed, you know, as Len is, right? She's kind of like humble, calm, super ridiculously skilled and just kind of like chipped away at it until she found the thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I think that's a skill set in itself, right? Because sometimes it really isn't that obvious, right? Like maybe it takes a while to figure out what it is.
Chipping
away
for 14 years though is pretty impressive.
Right. No,
most
really.
Most people
would
chip away for a couple and then probably give up or, you know, just get down on themselves or whatever doubts they have, it'd probably just end. Yeah. But she just chipped and chipped.
Seriously, right? Like, and just so humble about it. But I that impressed me a lot, right? And I think that was the one part of last week's podcast that I thought it came through, but I re-listening to it for quality, I was blown away by, you know, kind of that like really quiet dedication she had to like just figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the difference between, I'm trying to think of, some examples of when you talk about change, right? And of what, so if I had a client in front of me that, and I have had some that have had those career kind of transition opportunities, right? They can see the writing on the wall of the organization or the industry in some of some cases. And it's just, there's definitely a process to go to. So Kenny, back to your point is I don't think you go right from one thought to the next immediately. There's definitely techniques in order to do it. And I use something called bridge thoughts, right? To be able to, it's kind of like jumping across the pond, right? To be able to go, okay, I'm going to have a corporate job to all of a sudden entrepreneur. It's way too big of a jump to be able to think, okay, I can do this. I can do this tomorrow, right? And make that change. So it's what thoughts are going to lead me to be able to get into the mindset of being able to be an entrepreneur, right? And so catching the thoughts that are still holding you in that corporate 9 to 5 or the other ones that are open and more willing to change. And so I kind of call them like, you know, we often want to reach for like the pixie dust one that makes us feel really good. But if it's not believable for us, it's just like you're reaching for something and you're going to fall. So you've got to be able to make the transition of your thoughts. So Kenny, you're right on, like, it's just, you have to do it in stages. So we, you know, there's a really good visual that it's kind of like climbing stairs, right? Of I can't, I'll try, I will, right? And you kind of continue to go up the stairs until you actually do it. So it's like doing that with a new thought. right? So I often will test my clients of like, they come up with a new thought and it makes them feel great. I'm like, okay, next question is, how believable is that thought? Right?
That's if you're lucky enough to have someone like you around. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I think what they do is they have those thoughts and they probably won't act on them, but they start thinking and then they may give up on it and then they get another thought and they make, you know what I mean? Like it still takes, like climbing the stairs is doable and it takes some time and some practice, but there's a lot of people that just look at the stairs and say, well, no.
So,
or they take a step or two and think, oh, yeah. Wow, that's, you know what I mean? Like it's still having that ability to persevere and just to like, I think that's what I just found really intriguing with her is that she was just so, like, I mean, the stairs could have been 70 miles. I mean, there's the girls. Yeah. She was climbing those stairs.
Yeah.
And she was just going to do it.
And here's the biggest, when we talk about change, and I've heard it on other episodes as well, of, well, what if I make a wrong decision? Here's the mindset of somebody else is that I have the belief that I'm a woman that makes great decisions. So whatever decision, whatever stair I choose to take, is then I decide that's the right decision for me today. Mm-hmm. And I never second guess myself because that's undermining my own confidence.
Right. But so is that normal?
That's where I've had to get to. And, exactly. And let me tell you, yes, absolutely. Yeah. But that takes practice. That's like, it's funny when you, like what would Lori do kind of thing on here is I would offer, it's like this hour that we're going to be together is, it's like a gym for your brain. Right? Because we tend to think that all of a sudden we want to adopt a new way of thinking and we only have to do it once. When we've had this other part of our brain, the primitive brain, just being on this rinse and repeat for most
a
of
long
us.
Time.
Time. Yeah. Right? So how can we expect these new thoughts to stick if we don't actually exercise them?
Right? Yeah.
So you go and you use an exercise machine at the gym. I'm going to show you how, right? But then it's up to you. And then what measures do you actually use that to exercise? So we have a whole bunch of different tools in order to do that. But I think that's where people, when you talk about perseverance, is we give up thinking this new thought should come easier. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You got 50 odd years worth of a same thought coming 60,000 times in a day.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You're trying to buck that trend, right? That's been going on for years and years.
Yeah.
But it is possible. And Lan's totally a great example. Yeah. And I was just like cheering her on the sidelines. It was awesome.
So are we.
Yeah.
Like seriously, I mean, wow.
I know.
I still think it's a wow because I just know so many people that because if they didn't have a resource, let's say they didn't have a you or people who have done it to try it, you know, her environment was an office, let's say. Well, what's everybody else in that office doing? The same thing she's doing or he's doing. So what reinforcement are you getting? Well, obviously that this is okay because we're all doing it.
Yeah.
Like you're not getting that, you know, so if you, and I don't know what other people she has, Phil. Maybe you were the inspiration. Maybe there's other people that she's looked at who have done changing type of things. But otherwise, I mean, not to pick on accountants because, you know, there's one downstairs, but I kind of know how they think,
upstairs.
Right? And there's yours upstairs. Yeah. So it's kind of a very linear, you know, type of look. And I think you just get, I'm still amazed that because I pictured her environment, and maybe it's not fair because I'm making a lot of assumptions, but I pictured her environment and the people she's around and they've been sitting there for 25 or 30 years and she's going an opposite way. It's so cool. Especially because I know you, Lori. So if I really had to, I could pick up the phone and say, listen, you know, walk me through this one. Like, help me through this one. But not everybody has that.
No.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You still have to find somebody. So I almost wanted to ask her after I listened to it, like, who was the person or where did you go to kind of give you that? No, I'm not going to give up because I just finished talking to blah, blah.
I think that's the most amazing thing about her, right?
It's even more weird.
I don't think so. I think she's a true entrepreneur that way because she just went, because I think the neatest thing about entrepreneurs, what I love about entrepreneurs is you really don't take no for an answer, right? Is you know, you the mindset is I'm in this for myself. I don't really have a lot of resources. I'm just going to go and make resources or I'm going to find resources You know, at very worst, there's YouTube and I'll figure it out, right? Like, do you know what I mean? And that's
less a lot of like, perseverance once again.
Though. No, but, like, but you know, but you're like that. I'm like that. Lori's like that. Jim's like that. Do you know what I mean? Like you, I think
I don't know. I wanted to be more like Len.
Dude, you like, yeah, no, no. Okay. Wow. Come on. So Len's got like this cape and she, you know, she kind of flies around the city and she kind of goes, well, I'm not flying, like, but whatever. But I'm just saying that I think it's a trait we all have. You know, she just has more of it, right? So I think, you know, the whole AutoCAD discussion was ridiculous, right?
That was like, hilarious.
Okay, seriously? Like,
you know,
seriously?
People only train, you know, like 3 years in community college for this. You looked at two YouTube videos and you're like, drawing really? AutoCAD. Like,
oh, come on. The hell are you? Freak.
I know. Jeez. But I just think that she, like, you know, the more I talk to her, the more that seems to come through is that she just went, well, this is ridiculous, right? I don't want to do this, right? So how do I just, like, and she just started, like, picking it, and then, you know, started to unravel her, right? I think that's the part that most people don't have. I don't know if I have longevity to pick at something for 14 years, right? Like, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I do either, to be honest with you. Maybe that's what I found her so intriguing.
Yeah. No, I just, and the quiet confidence is amazing. So, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. Wow.
So I have a practical question for you, Lori.
If you can't answer, Laura, I'll give you a hand. Hey?
So I
just want to make sure, you know, feel good about myself here.
I had lunch on Monday with a friend who's been a brand manager for 20 years, in a major CPG company, right? And he can see it coming, right? So this is probably the third lunch I've had with him. I don't see him that often. I see him like once every 3 or 4 months, right? And, you know, like kind of 3 lunches ago, he had said, you know, I think this thing's coming, right? Like, you know, things are shrinking, you know, I'm not landing the directorship role, you know, I'm probably gonna, if it's not this time, it's going to be next time I'm going to go. And so we've had 3 of these and I've said to him, listen, I think you have to start thinking about what you want to do. Like, if you want to hang around and wait for a package to come your way, you're entitled to do that, right? You've been there 20 years, you know, so you can cash out or however you want to term that. But I said to him, like, I think you need to start thinking about what you want to do when you grow up, right? But I feel like, you know, so his case aside, I feel like that's a really terrible term, you know, what you want to do when you grow up. Cause I feel like it's so ubiquitous and it is like something that we struggle with from like the time you're 16 until I don't know,
now.
like now. Right. And now. You're kind of like,
so funny. Cause I have a totally different thought on that because the perception I take it from it is when we were kids, we dreamt anything was possible.
Oh,
I love it.
Did you guys get that? Lori just dropped wisdom. Cynical.
See, look how nice that was.
That was just, okay, please continue. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll shut up now.
Well, it's because he's on this, he or she's on this cycle, just like we were talking about, of this, and you'll hear me say this all the time, of this rinse and repeating lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's, there's no shame in it. It's just how our brains are programmed to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. The only difference between those that are living, and it's funny, my word is like extraordinary lives, mm-hmm. is simply because those people are choosing to be intentional about it. Mm. So if he's deciding, and he totally gets to make that choice, but if he gets to decide, well, wait a minute, there may be something different, it's that childlike vision of being going, okay, if anything was possible, what would that be? And then he just gets, and here's the thing, like my belief, and I see it witnessed in my clients, anything's possible when you actually get your mind in the game in order to make it happen. It is like amazing.
It is. Sure. And I love, no, I love the reframing, but
yeah.
Do you think that's the whole set of stairs, I guess, to extend the example that you had earlier, because that's kind of like the entire flight of stairs, right? And I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, because it clearly is not a message that's connecting, right? Like I've kind of had the same lunch with him. And again, right, like, so if he chooses not to find what's next, that's his choice as well.
Yeah.
But is there, if that's the whole set of stairs, what's a good, like, first step on that stairway to try and figure out how to get, you know what I mean? Because,
yeah,
you know, you're going to look at the whole set of stairs and go, bones are creaky, I'm out of shape.
That's why people stay, because they look tired. And it's daunting, or you know, whatever.
Where's the elevator to get to the top, right? Like, but so is there, like, is there in your set of exercises, like, mm-hmm. what's a good first step to kind of, you know, take one step at a time? Yeah. Sure.
Well, it would be, and it's so interesting. I had a client today that is on the verge of, well, she had a miserable meeting yesterday, and it just did, with the little quotations, visual meeting yesterday. And so she instantly went to get her feelers out to change jobs today.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah. So she called instantly. We did a quick session. And my offer to her was, you may ultimately decide to change. Where I want to always get you to is making any decision from a place of empowerment versus a place of weakness. Right? So she's thinking and reacting mm-hmm. to something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so similar to your colleague, it mm-hmm. would be, you know, is he just choosing to stay there? What's his reason for staying? And mm-hmm. is it out of scarcity, right? Mm-hmm. The thoughts that are, I can't do any better than this.
Yeah.
How does that make him, like, how is that working for him? He may, there's lots of people out there that's just that comfort level.
Yeah.
So he has to wager what that difference is, because at some point the scale's going to tip in one way or another. He's going to just decide to stay or he's going to decide, you know what, this isn't where I want to finish off the rest of my years.
Yeah.
So what would that be? But until he can decide what the compelling reason is for both, then he gets to decide to do it out of feeling empowered versus that he can't have that option.
Right.
So he's got to decide to go before he takes a step.
But maybe your friend was there too, Lori, though, your client. Like, I don't know the person, but maybe it's been enough thinking for the last year and a half. And sometimes it just takes that sort of one catalyst, or that the last straw that pushes it over. So even though, yes, it's an emotional decision, it might be based on 6, 9, 12 months of feeling that, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe her mind was already, I don't know, or maybe like it was there and all she needed was just that one, it's that one nudge sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hoping, like you said, I hope she hasn't done it from a place of weakness, and that you're just not reactionary, because what happens is you make those decisions a week later, you're thinking, ah, shit, you know, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And I don't know where her situation's at. But
here's the thing. And I wonder how many of your listeners would identify with this. And this is a lot of this is the crux of what the work that I do is it's what I call emotional adulthood, of taking ownership for how I'm feeling. So let's go to Phil's friend. Is if he's actually thinking that he can't do something, right, out of fear of doing something else, he's thinking something outside the box is more scarier than his own sense of doing something. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. hard when we're not putting it in actual forms. But he's being led by, like, that is not an empowering feeling at all.
Yeah.
Right. So he's doing it out of what he's fearing versus him choosing to do.
Right.
My colleague today, or my client today, was the reaction from yesterday was she had expected a different result and she had hoped to feel a different way. Right. So she was looking for accolades for something that a project that had happened, and mm-hmm. she didn't get it. And so that part is that will continue to follow her wherever she goes. Right. She's always going to think that if her boss doesn't tell her she's done a good job, then she hasn't done a good job.
Right.
What I was coaching her on is, wait a minute, before you decide if this is the right job, and you're right, there may be a number of these, but if it's all based on the premise that she's waiting for somebody else to make her feel a certain way.
Yeah.
She's never going to find that.
No.
He needs to decide herself.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, that makes total sense. And Phil, your friend, because I have a lot of your friends. They're all in the same thing. And
yeah.
And the ones I always worry about, for lack of a better word, because I can't think of another word, is when you're sitting there, you're not happy. You know you're not going to be happy tomorrow because you weren't happy yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And the logic is, well, if I hang on, you know, I'll get packaged out or whatever, potentially.
Yeah.
And I'm always thinking, okay, you're wishing to get, in essence, fired. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because you want to get paid to be fired.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, how about if the last like 3 more years? I mean, it's not that you wasted 3 years, I guess, but I feel like you wasted 3 years. Like, you're waiting for a negative outcome with a positive paycheck kind of idea. I'm not too sure. For me, I don't get that.
Well, I struggle. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I would always ask would be, do they like the reason, right? If they are choosing to stay. And again, it's coming from that mentality of they're choosing to stay versus they feel they have no other option. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because, and again, if they have the thought, I have no other options, and they're there, they get to decide what kind of life that is for them.
Yeah.
And so I would often say to somebody, you get to decide, but do you like your reason for staying? And if it's out of that place of, yeah, this is how I want to finish off my career here, and I'm
that's okay your choice.
To check in and out, totally fine. But if it's for the fear factor that this is all I can do and I can't do anything else, then that's when I'm like, how is that thought making you feel?
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
showing up small at work and it's small in life.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
for sure. I don't think either make you feel very good, though. I guess is where I'm sort of throwing it at you because you're waiting. Like that, I don't even know your friend Phil, but I can picture about 12 of my friends.
Yeah.
It's that I can just see this.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Yeah,
but I won't go. But I hate it.
Yeah.
But I'll wait till them to package me because then I don't feel about bad going, but I don't want to be here. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I feel like you're just making not a great choice on not a great choice. I mean, you're choosing to stay. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah. But again, but all I would do is we won't know until they decide, do I like my reason for doing
it? Well, they have to. Yeah. It can't be me. I can just tell you what my feelings are, but who cares? I'm not in their shoes and it's not my life. You got to make your own.
I just said
decisions.
I think what I said to him, the part that, and I think Lori, you were knocking on this is I think that, I just said to him, it's like, you're putting yourself in a really complex place, right? Like it's just, like I said, trying to figure out what you want to do with the rest of your life or the next stage of your life is complicated enough. But if you're going to stay and just do enough work, like I'm not like that, right? Like I'm not a just do enough sort of guy. Like I'm not wired that way, right? So if I'm just doing enough, I'm probably just going to leave, right? Because I don't have the ability to paint grays like that, you know. So I'm either in or I'm out. And so I said to him, like, you're having such a problem figuring out what you want to do next with your life. I don't know how you come to your job every day knowing, you know, you come here to do the bare minimum to get fired, but
or not get fired
or not. Yeah. Like
I'm not
like,
just this person.
It's so complex,
ways.
Right?
Like if I get fired, I'll get paid.
If
I don't get fired, but I'll stay and get paid.
But there's all more, right? Like that's the first like weird part of it. Cause I don't understand that. And I like, that would make me leave. Cause I just don't understand how to like, hang on or push off or whatever the hell you're trying to do there. But then the other part is like, so you're going to take all that energy and do what? Like you're not, we've had 3 lunches and you're still not going out to find another answer. So what are you doing with the rest of that time? Like, are you just going to sit around and like choose to, you know, I think Lori, to your point, like, are you going to just sit there and not choose? Like what? Like the whole thing is weird to me, right? Because I don't understand. Like there's no bias for action, right?
Him not choosing.
Yeah.
We think from an outsider point of view that he's just still deciding. He's decided.
I think you're right. He's choosing,
right?
He's choosing.
Yeah.
I listened to you the last time we talked when you said that, Lori, that sticks with me. So every time I hear some, oh, they have no choice. I always, really?
Yeah.
You have no choice. You're choosing to sit there. You're choosing to pick which side. You're choosing to wait to get fired. You're choosing to stay if they don't. Every one of those steps you've decided. And they're not right or wrong. Whatever you feels good for you, you got to do. I'm okay with that. But you can't blame the environment. You're the one. You made the choice.
Here's the thing, as a coach that I've come to completely appreciate is the person in front of me. So Phil, it's so interesting, right? Yes, we're talking about your friend, but the more coaching he actually wants to coach you of why is this a problem? Because this could just quite honestly be his existence of he will completely just recycle and come in and out of his indecision, but it makes you uncomfortable because it's not something you would typically do.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. I kind of said to him, I think we have another lunch. I don't know how to help you, but I don't know if you want help from me. Like I actually said that to him because I can't, it's such a weird place. Like I like you, Kenny, I have a whole bunch of friends here, but some of them have decided, right? Like, so I have, one friend she's decided, like she knows that she's in the next cut or the next cut. Right. So, and she's well along there. And so she said, listen, I'm here. I'm going to give them exactly what contractually I need to give them. And when I'm at the office, I'm at the office. But as soon as I leave the office, I'm not doing more, right? Like, so I'm not, you know, in packaged goods, you never really do 8 hours. You kind of do like 10, 12 hours, right? That's kind of the industry standard. She said, no, I'm going to give them the 8 hours that we're contracted for. And then she has started, she started what do they call it? The continuing education courses. She showed the dedication, you know, like she wants to do some design stuff. And they said, oh, you've got to be able to show us your grade 12 math course. And she was like, I've been out of high school for, you know, 4 years or whatever, you know, like, you know, so she actually showed she went back and took a grade 12 evening math class to make sure that she had that prerequisite, that she was brushed up on her stuff before she went, you know what I mean? Like, so to me, that's such a clear path because she's like, I'm going to wait, but here's my delineation of effort. Right. And then here's, I'm going to give them what's theirs and then I'm going to take what's mine. Right. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that was like, I understand, like you've made a choice and you're moving, as opposed to this other person who kind of like, he's stuck in the cycle, right? Like it's like there's a whirlpool forming around him and he's kind of standing on a little rock in the, you know, or he's standing at the bottom of the stairs and
maybe it's not a whirlpool. Maybe it's a nice placid lake.
Yeah, maybe it's a hot tub for him, right?
Like he just likes to complain. And quite frankly, you know what? Where he is, he's okay with.
He could be sitting in the hot tub soaking around. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't get it either. I'm not understanding it. Like I understand her better. I understand the other one. I mean, I'm not a good fan of you just do the bare minimum, but I understand what she's doing. She's doing the job properly. She has a life, wants to pay bills and eat food. You need a paycheck.
Yeah.
And she's trying to better herself on the time that she would have given to them. She's giving it back to herself. At least I understand. I'm like Phil. I don't understand the other one.
Like,
I don't get it.
Yeah.
That's what's just catching ourselves when we're in that spot of recognizing it's a great example of he's not doing what we think we would do in that situation, right? And so our brain instantly wants to go, something's gone wrong, and what he's doing is wrong and what we are doing is right, or what we've done is wrong and what he's doing is
exactly right. He should listen to us because we're trying to fix him. He's not paying attention. He's not getting the story. Like he's not paying attention. The stairs are here. Take my damn hand. We're going up the stairs. I don't give a shit if you want to go or not. We're going up the stairs. That's coaching.
Right, Ken.
That's Mike Ditka coaching. That's how you coach. Get your shit together and get up those damn stairs.
Chop, 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 chop.
Right, Phil? That's how you coach.
Yeah.
None of this talking, how you feel. Wake up and let's get going. Suck it up, buttercup. Thank God that coaching style died.
I won't lie. You know, part of my brain was like, Run, move, move, move. Like,
seriously, do something, man. Do something.
Yeah. I know.
But you're right, though, right? That's what happens. I mean, I think it's because I think we all do that. It's this is why we're in such a mess in both countries right now, especially our neighbor to the south, is because we've lost the ability to sort of not one, just not fix what other people really truly believe, because what they believe is what they believe. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, if this person is happy, and then I should respect that. I mean, if they're asking for help, I should be human and help. That's what we should do. But maybe, you know what, at the end of the day, they just want to have a lunch with Phil, dump that on the table. And, you know, quite frankly, Phil, it's kind of like the one upstairs and the one downstairs. They really don't want to know. They don't really want us to fix anything. Like, just shut up and listen. And that might be it. I'm not good at that either. Trust me. Believe me. I try to do what would Lori do a lot. But about a half an hour into the story, I think it's time for the solution.
But so I have.
Sorry, Lori. Know, I like, just have to go there, and then I get nothing but shit for it. But I have to get to the solution.
But I think that that's a legitimate thing too, because I think that the next choice is really my choice, right? Like
yeah, did
you know, in all of this stuff, right? Like, so we've had three lunches, right? And it's great. He's a friend. I love the guy and everything, but you know, the next time that lunch comes up, I might be having a conversation before that, right? It's like, yeah. Hey, you know, I may or may not be able to make lunch. How are things going? Right. And if the story sounds about the same, because it did, you know, like I think back and it probably consumed like three quarters of each lunch. Right. Yeah. And so it wasn't that we were going to catch up and everything. He was looking for advice that he may or may not use.
Yeah.
You know? And
but
so
sometimes that's just you have friends. I probably need to use your friends, right?
But I probably need to make that next choice. Is do I want to go? Because if it winds me up like this, you know, because that lunch was Monday, right? Like yeah. I can't even remember what I did Monday afternoon. But it's like Thursday night, and it's the first thing I dropped on yeah. You know, what would Lori do night, right? Like, so
great example though is that the experience that you had.
Yeah.
Right, is your brain instantly went of an audience. If you could see, Lori talks with her hands. I'm not the Italian one on the panel, no. But I talk with my hands. I see that our brain has our own kind of version of the movie, right? Yeah. And then there's the reality reel, right? And so right now, your version of what somebody would do in this situation, especially if they're asking for advice, is they mm-hmm. would do X, mm-hmm. and he's not. And what's happened right now in your own brain is because this movie reel doesn't equal this one, mm-hmm. your brain's thinking something's gone wrong, mm-hmm. right? And so that yeah. has made you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so you clearly want to go and fix it.
Yeah.
Right? But here's
what I do. I fix things.
Right. But here's the thing is that's his experience. And he yeah. gets to, as Kenny said, is the more that we can just accept that he's going to make the decisions or not. I mean, he's making a decision and he mm-hmm. continues to stay, and then just, I'm hoping he's buying you lunch at least.
No.
Okay. Well,
Dutch at worst. Then.
Yeah. We split. It's fine.
Okay. But yeah. even there, now yeah. the decision gets to you of the thought you're having that he should be different, that he should be reacting different, right? Creates you to have this feeling of frustration
yeah.
inside. And that's what, it's so funny because that's what this whole coaching thing is about, is yeah. it's teaching you on
how
you
think. Oh my God, this whole session was about me and not about him.
Yeah. I'm just happy it wasn't about me, because usually it's me making a mess. So quite frankly, I'm thoroughly enjoying this. Because I, you know what, Phil, I'm with Lori.
You're such a suckle.
I don't care. It's my podcast. Well, I mean, I don't do much on it, but bottom line, I don't care. I want to be smart like Lori.
Me too. I want to be smart like Lori. I love this.
But Phil, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay.
Yeah, it really
so
does.
Here's the thing is you already nailed it is yeah. you get to decide. So yeah. if you no longer want to feel that frustration,
yeah.
but just get this is you're thinking you have to change the circumstance and no longer have lunch with him.
Yeah. But maybe it's a coffee.
But here's the thing yeah. is you can actually, and I would almost encourage you on just to do it as a trial, is have lunch with him, but you get to decide the thoughts you're going to have is he gets to be him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so what are you making it mean if he's not taking anything of how of any of the questions yeah. he asks you or anything? Yeah, yeah. What do you make that mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're just having lunch and he's asking me questions.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what this and I'm this right now crappy. We've stopped. I think really what we all need to try to do a lot more is just be there for that. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to change. You don't have to like it, but you can respect it and just say, listen, fine. But you know what I mean? I think right now we're getting so dug in this world on sides, and it's becoming so divisive. And it's not that this is an example that Phil per se, but it sort of is. Like, when we've lost the ability just to say, you know what? I don't understand what you're doing. It's not on a path I would go, but that's fine. It's your path, right? Now, I can be a friend and I'll listen to you, but I'd probably chime in periodically. Listen, I mean, if we're just chit-chatting, I'm okay with this, but you know, like, do you want me to spit out some advice, or do you just want me to listen? Like, tell me where you're going with this one. And maybe you
That's
go
a good
down that path.
Fire.
Because the shitty part is you don't want to, I don't know. I just think we're quick to walk away from things that it just doesn't fit the world, and that's okay. But the respect thing of what people believe or think, how to sort of come back maybe just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not that big a deal. So the guy drives you crazy in a couple lunches and he doesn't do what Phil wants to do. It's not about Phil. It's what would Lori do? First off, so like, focus on the damn program. You got shit to do with what you want, Phil. So quite frankly, as soon as you start, so you go down that path, what would Lori do? And
Lori would do?
Lori would just sit there and be nice about
but
it.
It's
not like you, Phil, trying to fix the whole world. Lori would do it in a nicer way.
Yeah. No. But I think that's legit. Like, I think qualifying is something, you know, because I like having lunch with him, right? But I think qualifying it helps my brain delineate, right?
It might help
and
him
so,
too, though.
So if it's just look like, do you want to just shoot the shit? I'm good with it,
that's
right?
Fine.
But if you're asking me for advice, you know, that's it's a whole different thing, right? Like let's sit down and actually do something about it. Or
again,
or
though,
I can help
what
you
want.
You know?
If he's looking for advice, the qualification shouldn't be, okay, I'll give you the advice, but the parameters are that you have to follow the advice.
Yeah, of
well, that's
course
not
it is, if I'm good.
Okay, Phil, I'm up, please. Okay, now leave it. Okay, if I start making sense, it's down logical. I mean, this whole world, we're on the verge of Armageddon.
Look,
okay?
I'm like,
now I'm talking
I paid
my
to
hands,
fix
come
things
on, Phil,
everywhere.
Please.
It makes me crazy. I can't
oh,
fix it.
Oh, my God, like, you're worse than me. That's impossible.
No,
if I start talking rational,
I don't think
you
it
can't,
is. I actually don't think it is. So I literally fix things everywhere I go. So I go to the in-laws. I'm not joking. Like, I am that
it's
guy.
Not a washing
like,
machine.
Like, yeah, no. I've like gone to friends' houses. I'll fix washing machines. Like, I'll
not with feelings
I'll
you
fix,
won't.
Leaky toilets. Leaky toilets.
No feelings.
Off at
just a problem.
Houses. I will actually fix leaky toilets. So. Like
Lori, help
trips
him, please.
To the top.
He's
like,
not hearing. He wants to just. Commit.
I know. See, he's not.
No. I heard you
the
guys.
The Italian's
but,
listening.
But,
come on,
but
buddy.
This is a great big set of stairs for me. So
Armageddon, baby. We're right on the verge.
So honestly, what I would offer you is, I have this great saying of how you do one thing, you do everything. So you're already your brain is offering you that I'm a fixer.
Yeah.
So, and I love like catching ourselves when we give ourselves I am statements.
Yeah.
It just makes it as if it's a fact. And it's like, so your brain's going to just say, well, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Right. And so, again, going back to your audience, how many people just say, well, I'm just an accountant. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
And it's like, those questions of always coming back of like, what if that wasn't true?
Yeah.
And we just proved to you that there are some things that you can't fix and you
No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. I totally get it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And because right now it's your thought that's what he needs.
Yeah.
Right. In order to make you, and here's the real nugget of it though, is that you want to fix him to make your uncomfortableness go away.
Yeah, that's 100% right. Because his life will be better after I fix it.
Okay.
I'm joking. No, really. But I understand that though.
Right.
Really
and that's
yeah.
like the client I met today is she was giving all of her employer, all of her feelings and saying, well, he has to tell me I've done a good job in order for me to feel valued and good.
Yeah.
It's like, How about you just have that thought yourself? Yeah.
If you know you did a good job, why can't you just feel good? I mean, why have we gotten to the point where we have to get validation from somebody else when we've done, if you did the right thing, you've done a good job, and you did a good job and you did the right thing.
Yeah.
Like if you know you did, now if you're second guessing and you're trying to make a wrong right, that's a different path. But if you know you did well,
yeah,
you did well. I mean, yeah, not, you don't get pats on the back every day. It's just not how life works.
Well, but even the pats on the back, what does that do for us, right?
I don't know. It makes you feel good.
Well, here I'm going to catch you though. Only because the thought that you're having that somebody else thinks that you've done a good job, right?
Yeah. As opposed to just looking internally and saying, you know what? I did a good job.
Yeah.
See, I listen to you, Lori. I mean, I'll practice anything you tell me, but I do listen. I'm trying hard. Not like the other one over there.
Hey. No,
listen, I'm just happy because typically when you're going down these paths, I'm the one that's going to go off the rails. So if I sound like the rational, reasonable one, I'm all over this one.
No, but I get that, right? I think for me, I think the big thing for me is figuring out how to keep that stuff delineated, right? Like is that first step of just like, look, we're just gonna chill out, right? Like
have a nice lunch.
Lunch. We're just gonna chill out, right? Like, and whatever happens in the lunch happens, but it doesn't mean I gotta do anything about it.
Have a nice lunch.
In fact, until they actually ask me to do something about it, I really should just a conversation, right? Like we're just a couple of guys chilling out having a nice lunch, right?
Although so I think you should be able to say what you feel. I mean, if you're in a conversation with somebody and they get to voice what they feel, I feel it's fair game that I get to voice what I feel. Again, respectfully, it shouldn't be a bloodbath unless they've completely offside. Yeah. At that point, I'll make my peace. I'll pay for a meal and then we're finished. I'm going to get away.
Yeah, I think that's my choice too. I think that's a subsequent step for me. I think the first step is like, I think it really is like I've got to figure out how to just stay out of the conversation. Not because I don't care or any of those sort of things, but because I have to train my brain not to fix.
Unless they've asked
you. You know, it's not my leaky toilet. I don't have to fix it, right? Yes. Like somebody else will do it. So,
and here's this, that one saying of how you do one thing, you do everything. My guess is that this shows up in other areas of your life, right? That you want to fix other, right? Of other things of, well, no, you need to do it this way. So I just offer you, catching, even just observing that and raising your consciousness to that and then going, oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah. I think if they were to do things differently, then I would feel better.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, that's not how this all works. I get to feel better regardless of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so when you go for lunch with him, he can do whatever he wants as long as you like the reason for having your lunch.
Yeah.
You want to go for lunch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. I think that's a good first step.
Okay.
Wow. Look at this. This is a great episode.
I'm glad we can help you, Phil.
Yeah. This is why Lori's too smart for us, right? This episode started with somebody else.
I was holding my own pretty good there. I'm going to just,
this is about me. This is not.
I'm liking this episode. This, I think the 100 is my most favorite episode now.
Is this?
I made it through. I didn't do anything half-assed. I actually made a little sense. I showed that I can listen. I can practice a few things.
Have you been holding back for 100 episodes? Is this what's been happening?
Don't go down that path to make yourself feel better now that the last 99 were yours. It wasn't those
99 episodes.
But this one, I got you. That's all I'm going to go with you. You got to listen a little bit better.
I love it.
That's so fantastic.
I think I can replay this one as soon as it launches.
Sure. Yeah, because
I might have to get a t-shirt.
Yeah, I might just edit you right out. Maybe it'll just be an interview with me and Lori. So you remember
that's fine too. Whatever. I have my phone on. I recorded the whole thing. You want to play that way? I'll play that way.
Oh, my cheeks hurt from laughing.
Actually, I can't do that because I don't know how to use technology. I wouldn't even know how to record this. That's
Lori,
all good.
I love that you were on the show.
So do I.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Lori. I appreciate that.
Much fun. So much fun.
Because I think we just got a lot of free advice, which we kind of like too.
I love it.
So if our listeners are out there, we're gonna bring Lori back. What did we say? Once a month? Once every once a month, right? So you have a month to gather your thoughts and send us some feedback. And then
we got 3 weeks to make a mess of our lives so that we can ask Lori what to do on the last 3 weeks.
That is not hard. Like, that'll start pretty much right at the end of this.
I'm trying to make it sound like that we're not that bad. Maybe, you know.
I think it's more like Lori has 3 weeks to sort through our shit to find out, like, what is
my
way. My
sounded better, though. Yours might have been truthful and accurate, but that's not the point. It's not how you feel, Phil. Remember, we're trying to, you know.
Let's live a little
bit of fantasy for a moment. Maybe we're not that bad.
But if you guys have something that you want to work through, or you have questions for Lori, you can send it to us at thiscommercelife.com, or where can they find you, Lori?
Yeah, Lori at LoriShoplin.com would be awesome. And that's LAURIE. Okay. And I'm doing something that your listeners are most welcome to, is I'm doing a free training on overwhelm, how to overcome overwhelm. Because as an entrepreneur, that's one that I fall into hook, line, and sinker.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I'm just going to run a quick webinar on that, which is Monday the 25th coming up here. So okay. Yeah, so is they there, can find that.
Is there a sign up link for that
somewhere? No, they have to email me there.
They have to email you.
Yeah.
So I'll put that in the show notes. Is that next? So it'll be next Monday it's run?
Monday the 25th.
The 25th. So, okay, good. So they've got a week.
Yeah.
Because this will drop next Monday. So they'll get a week.
Yeah, better. To get Linda on us. I don't want any more texts from Linda on how we don't post the podcast when we don't know what we're doing with the podcast. Okay. Stand that one?
Oh, man.
Poor Phil. But
you know what, though? Honestly,
he's the only one who knows how to do anything, Lori. I don't know how to do anything. They're all getting mad at me. I don't know what to do.
That was honestly one of my most funniest moments. Like, I have no idea where Monday went, right? Like, Kenny's like, did we not do a podcast? And I'm like, listen, chill your jets. Like, it's like 10 p.m. This is when I normally – wait. Holy crap, it's Tuesday. Like,
so I'm going to have to text them back and say, listen, hey, Sherlock, it's because you're a day late and I'm getting shit from Linda because where's the podcast?
So you know
that I don't know how to do.
So the funniest part about that is, I can tell you now because it's really funny, but that was the week that I recorded on the MacBook that I was testing.
Yeah.
And the MacBook was at the office downtown. So it was really funny. So I started panicking. I was like, I gotta go produce this podcast. Then I get on this computer. I'm like, where the F is the effing podcast, right? Like, and so, you know, like if you do any recording whatsoever, the first cold sweat that breaks is like, holy mother.
Oh, you didn't record
it. I didn't
it
record
again.
It, right? Like, oh my God. So and then I spent 5 minutes going, it's got to be here. It's got to be here. I'm sure I recorded it. It's got to be here. And then I was like, it is not on this computer. Wait, where's the other computer, right? Like, so I had this, like from 10 to 12 that night, I was just like, what the hell is, like, my whole life is upside down. Like, where is this crap, right? Like, it was really funny.
See what I got to put up with, Lori? See, it's
tough. See, you lost the day and the computer. Like,
yeah, it was really funny. I was just like, oh my God, you're an idiot. Like, yeah. Anyway, thank you for being on this episode.
Thank you, Lori.
We're thank so you. Always congratulations on your 100th episode, guys. That's fantastic.
Thanks for being a part of the 100th episode.
Yes, yeah. Yes. We'll tell Jimmy that when we hit 200, he can come on for 200.
Okay, awesome.
So. That's really nice. Poor Jimmy.
Jimmy, we love you.
That's all good.
Yeah. All right.
All right, guys. Thanks. You.
Lori, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Have a great night.
Chat soon. Ciao. Okay.
Bye.
Phil, we're done too? Or what are we doing?
Yeah, we're done here.
Okie dokie, my friend.
Okie dokie.
That was really
man.
Good. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was really great. It was really great.
You know what I'm happy about? I think I actually listened to Lori. Like, I'm trying my hardest to actually do this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and actually think it through. Cause like,
yeah.
I really don't, I don't know. I think I've just even doing, like, I think I've learned a lot since I've left.
Yeah.
I learned a lot before, but I've learned a lot. And then even just that one episode with her, whenever we did that one, like it's an hour. I mean, you can't change, you know. Yeah, I'm trying really hard to
listen.
No,
but
make sure it makes sense.
I think the really, like, I think that's why the "What Would Lori Do" thing sticks with me, right? Is
I like
is
it.
Because I really...
I need it.
I love that phrase, and I love that it checks... Because it checks me too, right? Because I literally have those moments. It's how I got there tonight, right? I was just like, okay, Lori would not give that advice. She would just listen. So what the fuck am I
know,
I
but it takes some time. So you got to work through it. And because I'm even thinking, no, see, I know what she would say. That's not how you do it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to catch myself because I'm I do this. I'm notorious with Amelia with this.
Yeah.
Right. Because as a husband, I think, which is probably, and as a guy,
yeah,
you know, a lot of issues, right? Is it, you know, you're when I just want to fix it.
Yeah.
And it's hard sometimes to understand that it's not, she's not telling me things because she wants me to fix it.
Yeah.
It's really just shut up and listen.
Yeah.
I just want to tell
you.
We are
wired to fix everything, right? Like that's kind of,
I know, but we got to rework the wiring a little.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Agree.
It's bottom line is that's not what it's for.
Yeah.
And I think your friend's the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm convinced that's what I think. He just wants to
spit
it out. And maybe that's for him to get to the decision is he needs to kind of just keep saying this and it'll work itself out. And then it might come to the taste. Say, listen, Phil, I really need your advice on this.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. What do I do?
Anyway, it's all good. It's all good learning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little too much for tonight. I got to go take a rest now. Very stressed out.
All right.
A lot of learning.
See you, buddy.
Okay, Matt. We'll chat with you soon.
Okay.
Thanks, man. You too. Okay. Ciao.
Bye.
All right. That's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more commerce news.